Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show. It is Monday, August 18th, 2025. I am Paul Gallant and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to get in? You know how to do it. Voice guy told you. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitch at ESPN 975. And you can listen to us on the app, Apple, Android, and 97.9 HD2. Whoa! So many ways to listen to the show. So many ways to talk to the show. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Lots of things to dive into over the course of today's show. A Houston Texans preseason game. The do's and don'ts when it comes to wearing sports hats. And a big trade for one of the teams in town. But I want to start off by talking about something that nearly happened to me on my way up the stairs to the office. I nearly killed someone. Not kidding. When I'm walking from place to place, I go very fast. And sometimes I open doors like I'm Kramer from Seinfeld. So as I was walking up the two flights of stairs to start the show today, a door that you push out, I pushed it open the same way that I would hit a blocking sled back in my glory days playing high school football for the Shorecrest Preparatory School Chargers. And I almost took somebody out. I almost knocked somebody down the stairs. She even pointed it out while laughing. I don't think she was laughing all that much about it, though. I think she was a little bit mad. I almost murdered somebody earlier today. I guess there's no intent. Would it be manslaughter? But you know, I'm working my adrenaline down after that moment happened. And you're probably thinking to yourself right now, Paul, my God, as far as your ADD tangents to open up a show, this is maybe one of the weirdest ones. Fine. You know who else almost got murdered this weekend? Your Houston Astros. That was a joke. All three of those games. A joke. And look, they still have a 1.5 game lead in the American League West because the Mariners also lost 2 of 3 over the weekend. But it's one thing to lose 2 of 3. It's another thing to get your ass kicked by a last place team. And that's what happened to the Astros. They got their asses kicked. Friday, they lose 7-0 to a last place team. And in said game, it was pretty close to a perfect game for some dude who I'd never heard of with a 6.5 ERA going into the game. Saturday took far too long to close out, 12 innings. And then yesterday, you lost 12-0, but it easily could have been 19-0 because you needed Jesus Sanchez to rop a grand slam and a 3-run homer. Over this homestand, the Astros went 3-3, and while they did take 2 of 3 against Boston, they were outscored by a total of 44-17. So what's going on? The bats, for the most part, are healthy. And we got some good news on Yordan Alvarez that we'll get to at 12:15. The arms, getting healthier. Some bad news on Josh Hader that we will also get to at 12:15. But there's no excuse for what happened over the course of the weekend. None. I've seen a couple of texts about this, and I saw a couple of comments about this as well. There's this idea that the Astros suck against bad teams, that they play really well against the top teams in the sport, and then when they're playing teams that aren't so good, they're not focused, they let it slip. That is a myth. I looked this up. Grok helped me out because it's difficult to find a team's record against sub-500 teams. But the Astros, as of today, are 40-20 against teams with a winning percentage below 500. They are seventh best in baseball on that front, behind the Brewers, who are red hot and somehow have five more wins than anyone in baseball, the Blue Jays, who have the best record in the American League, Tigers, Phillies, Dodgers, Cubs. They are feasting on the baddies. And not like the baddies, like, oh, look at that baddie at the bar. Oh, yeah, I'm going to stare at her and not do anything about it. No, we're not talking about that. We are talking about the bad teams. They're 40-20. It's a myth. It's a symptom of being too close to it. I saw far too many commercials for drugs this weekend. Ever seen those where, like, there's just B-roll of people going about their day-to-day and it talks about the side effects? Side effects may include spontaneous combustion, AIDS. Like, there's all sorts of commercials like that. And I feel like a lot of Astros fans right now have a little bit close-to-it-itis where, you know, oh, our bullpen's the worst out there. Our manager sucks. Our GM sucks. And we're awful against the worst-placed teams. Well, they're actually not bad. So what the hell happened this weekend? Again, is what I ask. That is a Orioles team that has very little to play for this year. It's over. They're a massive disappointment. They're probably all checked out. They want to get on vacation. And I know that they have now gone back-to-back series with a win. But, I mean, come on. You got kicked in the tuchus. And the foot is lodged where the sun don't shine. Yes. It got all the way up there. Come on. You know? God tried to will it, too. He tried. A man by the name of Jesus, which is spelled a lot like Jesus, robbed two home runs to help the Astros out yesterday. No runs? 12-0? What? Friday. I mean, that guy had a 6.47 ERA. Do something. And hell, I mean, on Saturday, you had an inning in the 11th where one of your relievers comes in and throws two pitches to get three outs. So what gives? This is a long-standing theory of the Paul Gallant Show, which, yes, might be home to the greatest baseball mind in all of Houston, but also is a baseball casual. How do those two add up? I don't know. It's a great question. But Astros fans should be able to leave the Astros in the car with air conditioning on and the keys in when they're going up against bad teams. And it's not that the Astros lost this series. It's that they got smoked in this series. Pull your heads out of your butt and get to work, because now you haven't really afforded yourself leeway against this Detroit Tigers team that took you out in last year's playoffs. And by the way, it's in Detroit. You should have won two or three this weekend, if not get an actual sweep, to get your asses kicked. I hope that is going to be a wake-up for this team. But, I mean, yesterday was completely unacceptable. It should have been 19-0. You know? You already got your asses kicked once this week by the Red Sox. What are we doing? Come on. Wake up. I should not have to watch an Astros-Orioles series and stress that there's actually a possibility that they're going to get killed. I'll take a 2 out of 3 series loss. Losing like that, embarrassing, pathetic, to quote the great John McClane. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. You know? Got to be better. Got to wake up. And this is going to be a tough little three-game test. I hope that yesterday did wake them up. You know how to get in. On the other side, some interesting news on the Astros injury front. Some bad news when it comes to Houston's best arm, but some good news when it comes to Yordan Alvarez? Let's talk about it on the other side, because I think we're all going to need to hold hands and discuss this, because I don't know what this update means. Classic Astros medical staff. An episode of Astros ER next. Some Texans preseason talk at 12:30. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Also on the caller or text line, 713-780-3776 to call. Text the HRNP listener line. BVB09 asks this question. Why is it every time we are losing by three or four runs, the bullpen comes in and just says, F it, and gives up like 10 runs? And then we end up seeing Chaz McCormick. A great question, but I do once again think that we are projecting the bad things as if they happen a lot more than they actually do. They are 40-20 against all teams that are below 500 this year, which is the seventh best mark in baseball. And get this, they're like the seventh or eighth best team in baseball this year.
Yeah, yeah. Can we just say it's not like the bullpen? It's Sean Duman since he's come back. Like that situation is just what's happened to Sean Duman twice now. Is that he comes in, the Astros are down, but it's still manageable. And then he comes in and makes it unmanageable. He comes in and just starts giving up runs. So I think it's more of a why has Dubin done this the last two times than why do the Astros always do this?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely that. Some people are wondering, hey, should Dubin have shaved?
Absolutely not. How can you say yes after how he's pitched since coming
good
back?
Good point. I mean, his ERA is already at 5.48, and it was like
2 when he was hurt.
Yeah, it's now, the 2 games have really destroyed it.
Now, personally, I never believed in the 2 ERA Sean Dubin era. I was always like, give this guy a couple more innings. Let's see how it goes. I didn't think it would be this bad, folks. He was never this bad.
You know, he is legitimately the reason they've been blown out 3 times in the past week.
He's a huge – I mean, I don't want to let other guys off the hook because – you know, you give up 12 runs to the Orioles on Sunday. It's like not all on Dubin, but he is a big part of it.
It's 11 earned runs in his last 3 appearances, and he's a reliever.
With, like, you would think a quick hook.
Hey, I mean,
now it helps they're already losing, so it's a little bit less quick of a hook. But, yeah, I mean, God, that's such a bad number.
That's really
bad. I didn't know it was that bad, honestly.
That's the kind of number that certain institutions might investigate. I'm not suggesting. That's how bad it is that you could make a case that he's throwing games and he would be like, damn, I mean, I don't really have a great alibi right now, even though I'm definitely not.
That's what we need. We need that scandal where a pitcher is just so stinky that every time he comes into the game, there's unusual betting activity. And it's like, nope, he's just that bad.
I'm just trying to figure it out.
There's no text linking these guys. There's nothing. This big money better is just like, Sean Dubin's on? All right.
At this point, I mean, we should be looking at
in-game betting.
Betting against Sean Dubin in a game.
Over. Orioles over.
That would be a fun, a super fun scandal. Then after the game, people are investigating his quotes, and they're like, wait a second. He said that his stuff felt good, like every pitcher does.
We're like emptying our savings account.
HDX Rhino has an acronym for this, HMRWDGU. It's just like WWJD. How many runs will Dubin give up? I mean, yeah, I get this. This is.
I mean, how much longer can he still be on the roster?
Well, I mean, given what's going on with Josh Hader, probably a lot longer, which, by the way, brings us to another episode of Astros ER.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
He don't really know how he hurt it. Sometime you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Brandon's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
This happened a little bit after we went off the air on Friday. Josh Hader spoke. Hey, we actually heard from Josh Hader. It's not Dana Brown, and it's not Joe Espada speaking in place of actual doctors. It's the guy who actually is dealing with an injury. So, what is Josh Hader dealing with? He told us that he is likely out the remainder of the regular season with a left shoulder capsule sprain. So he's being shut down for 3 weeks, and it's going to take him a couple of weeks to ramp back up. So we likely will not see Josh Hader until the postseason, if we even see him. I am taking this as Hader is now out for the year. You signed him to this big contract. You want to have him in the playoffs. He's a gamer. I'm sure he's going to try to get back out there for the playoffs. But with that contract, play things safe.
Yeah.
You do not want another Lance McCullers-style albatross hanging around your neck. You do have to think big picture this time around, and I'm sure Hader is going to think about it big picture himself. Be careful with this one. I know he's had an awesome year, but do not screw this up.
Yeah, in a weird way, I almost view this as good news of it's
they can't possibly screw it up because he has already set the expectation that I might not be back this year.
And it's not like a shoulder injury where I'm going to be out for 12 months. You know,
right,
like it's not the JP Francis. So it's like, okay, it's a bad injury that puts him basically on the bubble of playing in the playoffs. If like everything goes right, by the way, this is the timeline of I don't throw for 3 weeks and then 3 weeks to build back up. But he's also going to get imaging, I assume, after he lets his arm rest for three weeks. So there's a chance that, you know, wouldn't be the first time that an Astros player gets imaging while he's hurt and it's like, oh, actually add a couple more weeks to this injury. So, I mean, the Astros are going to have to earn the right to have Josh Hader back on this team. Like, they're going to have to win at least one playoff round. They're going to have to get farther than they did last year because I don't think he'll be ready for the three games wild card series, because that happens 2 days after the season ends.
That's true, right?
So you're probably looking at, like, probably has to make the ALDS or maybe even the ALCS for Hader to actually be ready to pitch. It's like, at that point, yes, pitch him because you're close enough to winning a World Series. But, I mean, I'm operating under him and Isak Paredes. It is, I appreciate you trying to come back for the playoffs. Yeah. I'm not penciling you back in.
Take your time.
Yeah.
Take your time.
You have him for three more years.
Right. And just remember the training staff that you are dealing with. These people seem to be, I do not know the ins and outs because they will not speak to us, but they seem to be buffoons.
Things have not gone well for him.
No.
Josh Hader.
That's very polite of you, Sean.
Josh Hader. It was a very passive voice, too. Things haven't gone well for them. Not, they have screwed things up. Josh Hader also his first time on the IL, so I imagine there's a bunch of times where he's like, is this normal, that XYZ? And players who have played for other teams are like, no, this isn't normal. No, don't let him do that. Christian Walker's like, no, this isn't normal.
This is strange. Another Astros injury update. Yordan Alvarez took 8 at-bats in live batting practice today in Florida. That's from Saturday. We think, went to Houston yesterday, and then I believe afterwards he could be off to Corpus Christi. Here is Joe Espada updating us yesterday on Yordan Alvarez, the Astros' best slugger when he is healthy.
Did Alvarez come here? You get to talk to him?
Yes, I talked to him. He's going to go here in the cages today. And he's going to report to Corpus for a few games before joining our club.
What's the excitement level of that?
It's really good news. Yeah. But the fact that he's feeling better and we're getting to a point where we can see him back is awesome.
Do you have any idea how many games or bats you want him to get in?
We're going to start with Tuesday and then we'll go from there.
You want him to just DH or is he going to play a little outfield?
He is going to DH on Tuesday.
More clarity on what's next for Garcia or Lance?
We're going to talk about that today.
Oh, man. Of course, that last part. Just a little wrench.
I left it in. Just
a little wrench in the good news.
Yeah.
And the kind of wrench that when I was trying to install a filter under my sink, that I wrenched a little bit too far in, which has led to water constantly leaking under my sink to the point where when I came back this weekend from having gone to the girlfriend's and then going down to Galveston to hang out with some friends, that my place smelled like just absolutely disgusting water and rot. So that was fun. And that's kind of that screw at the end, that extra little update when it comes to the Astros and injuries. Okay, what the hell am I supposed to make out of any Yordan Alvarez update at this point, right? I mean,
yeah, we're going pretty fast from 8 at-bats in batting practice, live batting practice, but still batting practice, which I guess is 2 games worth, to we'll see him in Corpus, and then, hey, maybe he's on the Astros next week. It seems like it's fast.
Correct.
But it seems like it went from, you know, they're still swelling, we can't let him swing a bat, to swung a bat 8 times? All right, let's do it. We almost got perfect game by a guy with a 7 ERA, yeah, so let's bring him in.
There really is no excuse on that. More Astros injuries updates. Jeremy Pena did not start Saturday because he was sick, but he did pinch hit. So
the illness stuff, because there's another illness that you'll get to.
Right.
I mean, oh, sure.
Wash whatever. Your hands, guys.
Just sure.
Wash your hands.
I understand how you guys get each other sick, but like, it's just... It's the Astros season now, while they're still up a game and a half in the AL West. But when it comes to injury news this season, it's every scene in a movie where someone goes, ah, how can this day get any worse? And then it starts raining.
Yes.
It's like, ah, Josh Hader's out. How could this get worse?
Someone getting sick.
Your starter on Saturday and then your starter on Sunday, sick. How about that?
I want to know what kind of sick we're talking about.
It better be bad.
You know, I hated those Space City uniforms that they had, but if you got a case of the you-know-what skis, at least no one would see that
hides
on your pants.
Yeah.
Right, because the white pants, oh man, you can see that. So I don't know, is Jeremy Pena, I'm a vain person, is Jeremy Pena vain? And he was like, oh man, batting practice, ah.
I don't know if I can trust, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to look like this. Not in front of my hot soccer player girlfriend.
I don't want to be standing a shortstop clenched the entire time because I can't relax.
Speaking of clenched, Christian Javier might have been clenched all day yesterday because he only lasted 50 pitches because he was pulled from yesterday's game because he was sick. Hashtag wash your hands. Hashtag bring back Dusty. I saw this funny picture of Dusty Baker wearing a mask from back in the day where I don't even know if the mask was over his nose or mouth. It seemed like he was wearing it as a mustache.
Yeah.
In between.
It looked like he was wearing it and then he like lifted it up to like, I don't know, put in sunflower seeds or yell at someone.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of like left it to where it was covering nothing. Like it was not.
Absolutely nothing.
It's on every diagram from 2020 of like how not to wear a mask. That's what he was doing.
He would have been kicked off a plane for that.
Yes.
And called a terrorist.
And he would have been like, this is my right. I'm a sovereign citizen.
And one last update. Luis Garcia is going to make one more rehab start. Lance McCullers is likely to rejoin the rotation first. I mean, how Jeremy Booth feels about that.
I mean, is Christian Javier going to have to poop himself his next start? Because he would be useful, I guess, just to come in.
They got the adult Depends. Can always do that.
Yeah. Deion Sanders has made Depends cool.
He did. He really did. We haven't had a person make peeing your pants cool for a while.
Since Billy Madison,
the movie. And that was a fictional late old lady that was talking about it. But yeah. So, hey, diapers and dark colored pants. Astros?
Astros.
It's time to think about it. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. That is Astros ER Sean Martinez. I'm getting too old for this bleep. Well, buckle up. Buckle up. Flu season's approaching. The Astros are going to get H1N1? SARS? I don't know.
Next time they have an off day, everyone, flu shot. Everyone at Walgreens. Let's get this flu shot over.
Hand, foot, and mouth disease?
Yeah. There's someone who missed time because of that. Years ago.
Oh, yeah. It happens.
It does happen.
Up next, the Texans swarmed in their second preseason game. Does this have you feeling a little bit differently about their chances in 2025? What? I'm asking that seriously, guys. There's no sarcasm here. They look really good. We'll talk about it next. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Before we talk about the Texans preseason game, 713-780-3776 to call to text. It is the most interactive sports talk show in town, and the Astros still have a 1.5 game lead in the American League West over the Seattle Mariners, who also lost 2 or 3 over the weekend. But the Astros really got their asses kicked this weekend. They lost 7-0 on Friday in a game where a dude with an ERA approaching 7 nearly perfect gamed them. And then yesterday, they lost 12-0 in a game that easily could have been 19-0 if Jesus Sanchez didn't make not one but two home run robberies in about the same spot. Grand slam and a 3-run homer. Can't remember the last time I saw a guy rob 2 home runs in the same game. I'm sure it's happened before, but
yeah,
that was pretty crazy.
It's one of those like low leverage. If this game was 1-0, it would have been like, man, Jesus Sanchez has saved the Astros' backside. This one's like, oh, he saved him from being more embarrassing.
Yeah, he saved a couple of ERAs from approaching 10, but that's pretty much it. Some comments. Man, some of y'all down bad. I don't like what happened this weekend, but I'm not making grand conclusions about it. This is baseball. I mean, it happens. It's just,
welcome to Astros fans.
It shouldn't be like this. That's all I'm saying. Like, you're better than this. Don't embarrass us. Don't embarrass me in front of my friends, to quote Falcone or Marconi or whatever.
Sal Maroney,
thank you. The guy.
Eric Roberts.
Yes. Hell yeah. Eric Roberts, great actor. Some text, 713-780-3776 to call the text. It's going well, and one of your top pitchers is speaking out about how everyone else is, how poor everyone is doing.
Yeah.
Blaming everyone for their mistakes instead of himself. Well, my stuff was good. What? That's just what pitchers do, dude.
No. He's now had a couple shots of like, I can't, he does a little bit of the,
Giselle Bundchen, the Patriots receivers.
Yes.
I can do where you were going there.
Yeah, where he goes, hey, listen, I can't control the run support I get. I can't control the, but you know what? It's on me. I should have backed up the play. But in process of saying, like, I can't control throwing my teammates on the bus, I take accountability for the one thing I messed up.
He's already gone.
He's checked out.
Right. He's gone after this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's checked out the remainder of this season. But
no, I think emotionally he's just like, yeah. I'm not playing the nice games anymore.
He's waiting till the end of the lease.
Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly.
Making it awkward.
Yeah.
And not just leaving as this relationship is probably on the verge of ending. Another text from a two-parter. Hard reality is that the Astros aren't better than the teams below them record-wise. They will get bounced in the first round if they get there. I just completely disagree with that. They are better than the teams that have worse records than them because they have a better record than them, and they have better bats than them, and they have better arms than them. Come on. Can we stop crying? Jeez. This texter continues. Throw the records away. Just because the Astros' record is better does not make them better. How many times in the NBA the 8 seed beats the 1 seed? Okay. Is that sarcastic? That, like, never happens.
Happens, like, 5 times in history.
Right. I'm not sure where you're going with here. I think you're overreacting. Hell, even Don is overreacting. Day one, Donna, this team is not winning the World Series. Probably won't even win their division. They're a game and a half up. I saw this as well. Someone was saying, oh, they're not going to make the playoffs. Like, what?
They'll make the playoffs.
This is an embarrassing series, but you're right, Sean. They're going to make the playoffs.
Now,
6 teams make it.
Division is, I think it's a coin flip just because it's, I mean, A, it's a game and a half. Mm-hmm. B, just, you know, the way the Mariners have played post-deadline, the way the Astros have played. I know there's a lot that goes into it more than that. But I think it's a coin flip of the division, but I think the playoffs, like, they're making the playoffs. They have to, like, really start playing poor. Like, splitting a homestand while you, on a cumulative score, lost by, like, 30 runs.
Yes.
But going 3-3, like, in the standings, that's all that matters.
They had won 3 series in a row. Going into this series, they have a game
and a half
lead.
If they went 1-5, that's different.
The Mariners were red hot. Now they're cooling down a little bit, and now it's a matter of, can you make up some ground by the end of the month? Friday, I said, I think the Astros will have a 4-5 game lead in the AL West by the end of the month. And after that, it's about, can you sit on that? But this was an opportunity to gain on that lead. And honestly, given just the way that the Tigers have played this year, I know that the Astros beat them the last time they played them in a series, but I am expecting to lose 2 of 3, and this will probably be a half-game lead or perhaps a Mariners by a half-game lead at the end of this weekend. So you got to, you know, it was an embarrassing way to lose 2 out of 3, and you just got to remember, you're not going to have that many more opportunities like that when the month of September begins. To end this month with the Angels and the Rockies coming up after the Tigers, sure. So there you go. It's the Paul Gallant Show. You want to text in 713-780-3776 to call us or text. And we'll push our Texans preseason conversation back to the next segment. From the 281, went to the game Friday night. Bought my ticket as soon as we got Correa for the front row of the Crawford box. What a letdown. Well, you almost saw a perfect game. I mean, it's a perfect game by somebody else, but you almost did. There's some value to that. But I did get those margaritas, Paul. Hell yeah.
I mean,
people are starting to comment on that post that I made that blew up about the El Tiempo margaritas, and they're starting to say, you need to delete this now. You need to delete this. The lines have gotten outrageously long. I think they're actually getting longer. I apologize for that. If I had any involvement in the lines getting longer, I'm sorry.
It doesn't
help. I mean,
El
Tiempo didn't even pay me for that. I'm just making an objective observation of what happens. We are doing a show there on Friday, by the way, the one on Washington, so that'll be fun.
There we go.
But I hope I get some royalties. They're going to give me a gift certificate?
Yeah, yeah.
For margaritas?
Yeah.
I better.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the inclination, though, when you're getting perfect gamed by a guy who stinks as an MLB player. I understand why you're like, you know what I need right now? Very strong $20 margarita.
Yeah, that's probably the only way to get you through a bad series.
Oh, and now they're losing 15-0 if it wasn't for Jesus Sanchez.
Diamond number two. I'm going to pass out of my chair.
Here, give me your driver's license. I need someone else's.
Here, you can just have this. I'm not going to drive home. I'm going to sleep here. What else do we have here? Kane Darko comments on the Twitch. You're talking about a fan base that's upset at the quarterback for their football team. Wearing another team's hat. Houston fans are just drama queens. That's it. Yeah.
I will. So I don't disagree with the, especially Astros fans being very dramatic.
We'll get to it.
I will say, like, just real quickly, every other fan base that cares about baseball would be upset about this.
Yeah.
Like, every other fan base.
Yeah,
like,
oh, for sure.
The Astros aren't alone in this.
It's August.
We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later.
It is August.
Yes.
This is what happens.
Yes.
If we're waiting for the playoffs to begin, the football's crap. Like,
yeah,
this is bad football.
What are we talking about?
Right. If this was not in August, I don't think many people would care, but a lot of people are like, ah, I want to feel something, but there's nothing to really feel right now because this is the worst month in sports of the year. It is. It is. You got to tease the football.
July's a little bit worse, but I get
what?
It.
What? That's WNBA is heating up. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? There's an all-star game. Baseball's all-star game. The old Midsummer Classic. Come on. There's a week where there's not as much baseball. I like that one. From the 713, chalk the weekend up to you. Baseball's a game of failure. A batter who fails 70% of the time is a Hall of Famer. It's just so hard to get used to. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. That's how you should look at it. So everyone settle down, okay? Or you could get a big old pants tent over what the Houston Texans did at NRG Stadium on Saturday. Texans swarm! Let's talk about what the Texans did on Saturday. Next, it's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
Houston Sports Talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Astros still have a 1.5-game lead in the American League West. No need to panic, but this weekend was embarrassing. You almost got perfect game by some, I don't know, schlub on Friday. No offense. Your ERA is 6.5. What are we doing? And then you lost 12-0 yesterday in a game that could have been 19-0. Sounded like a football score out there, am I right? Speaking of football, your Houston Texans swarmed up and down the field against the Carolina Panthers on Saturday. You see that game? You know, football season's getting closer and closer, and perhaps it's time for all of us to turn the page on the Astros dynasty to witness the new dynasty in town, the Houston Texans. Tongue-in-cheek, obviously, here. It was an impressive performance, though. And I think the most encouraging sign that we saw Saturday was that the offensive line, left to right, starting Arianti Ursary, Lakin Tomlinson, Jake Andrews, Ed Ingram, and Blake Fisher, actually looked pretty good. They kept C.J. Stroud clean. He had time when he took time to throw, and there was actually a little bit of push, which helped the running game out. Hell, Nick Chubb looked a lot more like the Nick Chubb we were hoping for in Saturday's game. I think there were some very encouraging signs, and I think if you want to take a look at the Texans' offense and reasons to get excited about Nick Haley, the offensive coordinator, specifically, the second drive offensively for the Texans, they were just quick getting the ball out. Stroud wasn't holding on to the ball too long, trying to make something happen, sometimes taking sacks as a result. He was just getting the ball out very, very quickly. And, hey, listen, the older your quarterback gets, the more of that you want. Now, he's going into his third year. We hope that he's stronger. We hope he's a little bit more mobile. These are things that he said he has worked on this offseason. But I felt like that offensive line on Saturday gave him a chance. Am I going to overreact? No. You got to remember, these preseason games, the schemes that defenses are going to throw at an offense are pretty vanilla. And the Texans' biggest issue last year, from an offensive line perspective, was stopping the exotic stuff. I mean, when they saw the exotic stuff, it was like all of us would have been if you've watched the movie From Dusk Till Dawn when Selma Hayek gets up on the table. Strong, powerful, independent woman. Vampire, you find out that she is. Spoiler alert. But it's the first time we see Selma Hayek, and we're all like, oh! And that was what the Texans' offensive line was like, off and against the exotic looks. But Saturday, I liked what I saw. Not going to do a victory lap on it. I just wanted to see some sort of progress, because that progress, for those who have been out there at Texas training camp, has been pretty slow. The statistics back up what my eyes saw. Hopefully, they'll be able to close things out in their preseason finale with a little bit more of that. And then, of course, in the regular season opener against the Rams, against Jared Verse, they can continue
progress. Because really, it's all about how much better will this offensive line be, assuming health, in November and December than it is right now. Because it is going to be a work in progress. You're going to have to be patient. And C.J. Stroud is also going to have to be patient and not have bad body language and not get mad at them. But I liked what I saw from them specifically on Saturday. The defense, it's really good. I think we already knew this. Will Anderson, I think, is continuing to grow as a player. He had a couple of big impact plays early on. Danielle Hunter as well. I mean, that's the top pass rush tandem in the league. Two top 10 guys. They look really good out there. Bryce Young. Panthers fans, by the way, exceptionally defensive of Bryce Young. I had posted to one of my channels a recap of what went down at the Texans joint practice. And a lot of people were just making up statistics about how good Bryce Young was. And I was like, yo, you definitely didn't see it because the Panthers were practicing on the far field. So if you went there, you wouldn't have seen it. And you're making things up. He stinks. I don't see it. I think he's too small. But hey, whatever, you know. It's just one game. But, I mean, Young's first pass was just a terrible idea. He just sailed a punt, essentially, Derek Stingley Jr. Derek Stingley had a couple of nice plays. He's looking fantastic out there, too. The defense is going to be the strength of the team. Their health is going to determine how far they go. One of my favorite moments, by the way, is Izz Al-Shaair. On a play where Bryce Young is scrambling and he slides, Izz Al-Shaair almost decapitated him. Hell yes! Swarm, baby! Swarm! Keep that mentality going. Don't let Trevor Lawrence and his medieval page boy haircut intimidate you into not playing football the way it's meant to be played, which is violent. Someone slides, someone goes forward, end their forward progress. That's how I feel.
Oh, you might get a flag.
Yeah. Have that guy think twice the next time he scrambles. Bryce Young's slide was a very tepid one. And as Al-Shaair did try to hold up on that play. But I liked what I saw from the offensive line. Liked what I saw from the defense. A couple of other standouts. A shout out to Woody Marks, rookie running back out of USC. He's got a burst to him. A shout out to another USC guy, Jalen Smith, the cornerback. He rocked Hunter Renfrow on a hospital ball that Jack Plummer threw him. And on top of that, got an interception a little bit later. Hunter Renfrow might want to go back to sanitation or whatever the hell he was doing for that year where he took off from football, because he didn't look very good out there, in my humble opinion. Nice to see him out there, but, you know, seems like the game has perhaps moved on past him. There's one play where it got intercepted by Jalen Smith. It wasn't as much a great play by Jalen Smith as Hunter Renfrow did not see the ball coming. You could say that's also on the quarterback, too. They have a Jake Hansen, the Texans do. He played linebacker, and I thought he was all over the place. And Irv Smith, who's been a tight end, a journeyman across the league, he came in, 5 catches for 46 yards in this game. So he actually had some pretty impressive moments out there. Who were the guys that struggled? So look, you got to take all these grades with a grain of salt. But for what it's worth, if we're taking a look at ratings offensively of Texans players, Blake Fisher was pretty bad. Am I supposed to believe what Pro Football Focus says? Or am I supposed to believe what I saw when Fisher was in with the first team offense? I truly don't know. I really don't. It's been a rough camp for him. Also, some struggles from the two rookie wide receivers. Jalen Nol had a nice punt return, but I thought that both Jaden Higgins, who had a nice catch from C.J. Stroud on the touchdown drive, and on top of that from Jalen Nol, there were some balls that were thrown to them that were perhaps not in the best spot, but they both had drops in a critical situation late, which led, was it right before halftime? No, it was the first drive of the second half where Texans were moving the football down the field and ball was in their hands. They both dropped it.
it's at the end of the world. No, drops happen, but you don't like to see both your rookies dropping passes. And for all the conversation about the Texans carrying seven wide receivers on the roster, which for whatever reason is a entertaining and topical conversation for a lot of people in Houston sports media, I mean, who cares? Who cares about if John Metchie's going to be on the roster or not? You know, like, hey, he got traded to the Eagles. I'm glad that he's going to stay in the NFL. But I mean, you know, we've seen enough Metchie at this point to realize he's probably never going to be the guy that the Texans thought they were going to get in the second round. Why are we talking about like the seventh wide receiver and the eighth wide receiver when we should be talking about, okay, after Nico Collins and Christian Kirk, who the hell can they trust? Who do they trust? You know, and for Higgins and for Jalen Noel, they're in a pretty difficult spot. Like, hey, the Texans had last year Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell, and now it's Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. Clearly, you're one and you're two. But, hey, I want to see something from those guys. And while Higgins had a nice catch, I want to see a little more. And this is not me criticizing them as much as just saying they have big shoes to fill, and we are talking about John Metchie? Who cares? I think the conversation is misplaced. Like, it's what those guys do. It's more important. I don't care about John Metchie. You know, I'm like C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He's gone. Give C.J. Gardner-Johnson eight. Give him eight. I don't care. Like, I don't care about John Metchie. I don't care about the eight wide receiver core, you know? Like, I care about the guys who are actually going to be on the field, and it looks like it's going to be Xavier Hutchinson going into this season, a former sixth-round pick, as opposed to the two guys that you drafted fairly early. All from the same school. And they're rookies. They have plenty of time, yada, yada, yada. But, hey, John Metchie was a second-round pick back in the day, and I would rather focus on those guys who are the second-round picks, the third-round picks now, and hope to see them make progress where they can actually contribute this season as opposed to have even a second's thought about Justin Watson versus John Metchie versus Braxton Berrios. Like, I'm sorry. I don't care. How are you having these conversations and seriously doing it? I get that we're all starved to talk about something right now, but like, should the Texans have seven wide receivers? Oh my God, you loser. Why are you talking about this? Yeah. Get a life.
I think Hard Knocks is to blame, where we focus on like,
who's going to be our Buffalo Joe?
Yeah. The like camp battles and like who's fighting for a roster spot. But you're right. Like on any team, and especially the Texans, like, you know what matters more than wide receiver 6 and 7? Wide receiver 3? And that's a pretty big question mark.
We don't know who it is right now. Like, it's probably Xavier Hutchinson by default, but I mean, that's not necessarily a good thing. Yeah, I like Hutchinson, but I mean, I'd like someone better.
Yeah, it's Hutchinson and then the two other Iowa Staters, it seems like. Maybe Justin Watson, like if we're going, you know, veterans. But yeah, we get into the discussion of like, well, you know, Braxton Berrios gives you something on special teams, so maybe he stays on the roster. It's like same thing as Steven Sims. Like he's a returner. He's barely a receiver. We need, you know, the bigger issue is going to be who's going to be on the field for 75% of your team snaps. Maybe less with Nick Caley. We don't know, but most NFL teams are going to be with three wide receivers on the field for most of the game. That matters more than a second-round pick who, listen, there's a ton of extenuating circumstances with Metchie. He got drafted with a torn ACL, ends up having cancer, misses his rookie year. A lot goes into it. But at the end of the day, like, he has never really made an impact on this team. That guy normally gets cut.
Exactly.
Or gets rehomed.
He just happens to have the kind of backstory where you like him more than other players.
Yeah, he's not like
he's had it rough, like cancer and a torn ACL. Like, geez.
Yeah, we're not going to sit here and call him a bust because we know what he's been through. But at when it comes down to it, they need a guy who's going to be on the field right now. Metchie's not that guy.
And there's a weird amount of people that are like, "Well, you could be something." Like, sure, like wide receiver six. If we're going to do that crap, you know, wide receiver five. Like, but he had an opportunity at the end of last year, when all the injuries happened, didn't take advantage of it. And in a crowded room, I'm sorry, he's quite forgettable. Yeah. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 97.5. An act of betrayal had Houston sports in a turmoil this weekend. Will we ever recover from one of the worst acts of traitors since Benedict Arnold? Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, Baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.